This is TWiT.
So there have been a number of stories in the news lately, sort of flying the banner of open source, celebrating how well the open source software movement has done over the years, that it has been a major force in the technology industry. And I think there's just no arguing that open source, which started out in one of the pieces that we have highlighted in our topics this week, there was a reminder that Microsoft at one point called open source software a cancer. And now it has very much pivoted and is embracing open source to the point not only where it's open sourcing many of its own products, but is thinking, actually flirting with the notion, saying we haven't ruled out and anything could happen, the thought of open sourcing Windows. So we definitely have seen a big move there. And with Clark and Kat's background in open source, I'd just love to get your guys, sitting back all these years later, perspective on the development of open source software and its acceptance, where it is today and where it's going. Those are all big questions, and we can drill down and get into more detail. But Kat, why don't, since you definitely working at Wikimedia and the Free Software Foundation, why don't we start with you on this?
Sure. So I think it started out as this thing that was just a couple of weirdos off doing this, you know, off doing this thing. Maybe it would catch on, maybe it wouldn't. And you didn't have to pay attention to them. You could keep doing your proprietary strategy and kind of ignore what was going on in the free software and open source world. Now it's become so mainstream that whether you accept its philosophies or not, that you have to figure out how to deal with it. You have to work with it. And I think we're seeing that a lot more as even the big software companies are figuring out, spending a lot of energy and figuring out how to work with open source, and through that coming to see, maybe at least see some of its benefits for themselves, come to embrace it a little bit. I think that's only going to happen more and more in the future, particularly as everybody comes onto it. You can't be a holdout anymore. You can't not embrace it yourself.
Right. And the interesting thing that has happened with open source is companies that have embraced it have shown other companies that they could still make money off the products that they've open sourced, that it actually assists their business model. Right now on the screen, if you're watching the video, is a piece, ironically, that picture at the top, I was assuming that the picture might involve a Creative Commons image, but that one is a Shutterstock image. But I think that is Simon Phipps's piece, maybe? I can't really see. So Simon Phipps, I've met before. He's a great guy. Has been writing at InfoWorld for some time and has done a special column on open source for InfoWorld. And this piece published just last week, it's sort of his goodbye to that column, because he says, no, I'm still going to be writing about open source, but it has become so mainstream that we're not giving it special coverage anymore here at InfoWorld. We're just, you know, it permeates everything we do, which I thought was an interesting way for him to conclude his column, and sort of a celebratory way with all the balloons there. So I think that this is sort of across the board what we're seeing in the industry. As Kat says, people have to learn to deal with it if they're not embracing all of the philosophies. But there's far more to do than just deal with it, right, Clark? Those who do embrace it and use it are finding that its potential to help not just the world, but the capitalist company is very great, correct?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, it's one thing, sort of this old mode, I think, that Kat was describing, where companies were a little more fearful of it, right? And so you have these extensive review policies and procedures, and you're really trying to avoid it in a lot of cases. That's sort of, you know, That's a historical artifact, I think. The companies that do sort of keep with that stance with respect to open source won't be around very long. They won't succeed because there's so much innovation and so much collaboration that accelerates that innovation in the open source world, not only in software, but in a lot of other domains as well, that you know, if you don't join in and figure out how to take advantage of these vast software and other resources and be a part of that broader community, I just think you put yourself at such a disadvantage that you're going to struggle to succeed. And as more and more different software projects and different layers of software build viable open source free software solutions, you see a lot of the, you know, the still proprietary pieces of software disappear, and their viability just sort of, right, goes the way of the earth. So, you know, Microsoft, for instance, I think, I don't recall exactly the percentages, but I think they were the second or third largest contributor per lines of code to the Linux kernel in recent years. So, you know, even Microsoft, the long maligned enemy of free software and open source software, is, you know, seeding ground and saying, this is the way the world is.
Right. Let's get into the legal nuts and bolts of how free software works for just a bit. Obviously, the GNU public license, the GPL, is a very well-known one, very closely aligned with the Free Software Foundation. There are other free software licenses out there. And, you know, whatever flavor of license you pick, the way that free software works is you decide, okay, I'm going to write this code. It's sort of, for those who are more familiar with Creative Commons, because we talk about it a lot on the show and have done a number of great tips. If you're not as familiar with the software licenses, they work similarly. You pick which license you liked based on, you know, what you want people doing with your software, and you put it out into the world, and then they don't have to come to you every time they want to use it. But that doesn't mean that you stop development of whatever it is that you're making, that you stop making improvements, etc. And so that's one way in which people continue to realize a financial benefit from something that they put out, if they're, you know, continuing to issue the official version of the software. But one of the things that was a cause of hand-wringing early on with the free software movement, and people expected the other shoe to drop on this in dramatic ways and put an end to the growth and rise of it that we've seen, it really hasn't played out that way. Is the fact that you get lots of people contributing to the code that can be the official code, and you get branches and forks and things, and that becomes problematic, but seems manageable in one way or another. But one of the things that always caught me was this notion that people are giving a representation and warranting when they're contributing code that all of the code that they are contributing is original and they haven't lifted it from somewhere else. So it's this notion of making sure that, you know, you are big company X and you've decided you're going to use open source software. You don't want to get sued by someone along the way. You have that little bit of uncertainty that all of the contributors have really done all of their due diligence and have really been forthcoming when they've contributed to the code. That really hasn't wound up being a big concern, has it, Kat?
Not that I've seen. And one thing I want to say is that people have this concern. It comes most to the fore when you're thinking about free software, but it's not unique to that. We see this mm-hmm. in proprietary software. Or also, you don't know that your developers didn't just lift something from Stack Overflow or that they found somewhere else. It just becomes a little bit more obvious when you're auditing everything for the licensing status to begin with that you don't assume it was all produced in-house. So that's not really something that that we've seen too much. It's
all right. That's what I thought too. Clark, do you feel differently? Have there been big cases out there that I've missed where someone has? Obviously, there have been some cases about software genesis and some attempts to recover based on the fact that hey, you're my code is in your stuff and it's not, you're not paying me for it. Yeah. But overall, do you see that as a problem that has developed at all or will be a problem going forward?
I think historically it definitely hasn't been a problem, at least that's right, has gained a lot of media attention, or that where companies have discovered code being stolen and then sort of put into some open source project. I think part of the reason for that, or part of the reason that hasn't become a huge concern, is a lot of the code that is contributed to these major projects is coming from corporations, right, that are very careful about these types of issues. And so they have extensive policies in place and talk about all sorts of negatives that result from those policies. But they may be, I think, a factor in limiting these types of legal issues from arising. And, I mean, if someone... You know, some independent developer contributes some code to some project. The likelihood is, if they have taken it from somewhere, it's from another open source project, not from Microsoft's proprietary code that they've sort of reverse engineered and pulling apart and now dumped it into some open source software project. You know, I think there are a lot of reasons why that issue hasn't arisen much, and isn't much of a concern. It's mostly a concern, I think, for lawyers, and one of the fears that, as you mentioned, has been sort of raised time and time again. Well, we don't know about the code genesis. Well, you know, you. Before you ship a product as a from a company, you conduct those types of reviews and you figure it all out. So,
right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Clark's exactly right that this is the type of thing that, you know, keeps lawyers up at night. But in many ways, mm-hmm. These are kind of theoretical problems, you know, similar to not that things don't happen, but they don't happen at a rate anywhere like you might imagine, just the same as, you know, what happens if some employee goes rogue and does something or that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So. The risks are really low, and the sort of, the thing I was trying to articulate with some of these people that contribute to open source software projects or free software projects is that they really like to write code. That's what they do for a living. That's what they do for a hobby, right? Most of them probably aren't all that interested in going and ripping something off from some proprietary solution and then dumping it into open source software project. They like to write code. That's what they do. They contribute it. And I think that's another reason why we don't have many of these cases.